This is the perfect pick at 24. 6'6", 7 foot wingspan.
Yeah, like mid tier, talking about the Bucks.
But it all came from that ball don't stop, ball don't lie. The Hooper guy, like the Hoopers and Ballers, the Kyrie guy.
That a 5-star recruit that had all the tools that just got like lost in COVID.
One of the greatest series that I've ever seen.
I wish I could like give somebody else $5 to do the stuff that I just want to see.
Then the Bucks Twitter takes a picture, you know, because it's funny. And then he comments and like adds Pat Connaughton. And
Giannis wants to dive headfirst into American politics.
If like Joe was like, "Wow, what's this song? Sweet Home Alabama. What's this? I don't know. It's kind of cool though, man. Like it's like everybody and their mama's heard."
No woman, no cry. Little darling, don't shed no tear. No woman, no cry. Good friends we have, and good friends we've lost. Along the way. You can't forget your past. So dry your teeth.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do a trailer. I have absolutely no faith, really, for Marvel Phase 4 or Phase 5, 6, any of the subsequent phases, but what a story told by a trailer. I couldn't love that anymore. And frankly, I don't know if this is considered lowbrow, middlebrow, certainly not highbrow, but I'm just here for all the orchestral score style remixes of hip hop classics or Bob Marley classics or any of this, basically any of the kind of Jordan Peele trailer kind of stuff or any, just keep it coming, guys. Keep it coming. Even if I don't watch the movie like that, I'm just loving these. What a trailer. What an outstanding trailer. By the way, randomly, I think last episode in criticizing the third sister mentioned Angela Bassett, just the first name to pop to my head. Yeah. Kind of looking forward to that. What I would kind of say looking at the trailer, I'm trying not to, just kind of, I'm projecting, but I'm not spoiling anything, but here's what I'll say. I think we'll look back on it and say that this was a moderately clever double meaning by the track that they chose, because I don't want to say too much. I'll say it's both No Woman, No Cry. And is also basically saying, no woman, no cry. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But I think the title of the track implies who the new Black Panther is going to be. But yeah, man, cool trailer. And like, but just again, just I want to work out to that trailer. If I still worked out, I would work out to that trailer. Just awesome. Just incredible. And then it builds and it builds. And then, you know, pretty sure that's Kendrick. If Kendrick comes in the kind of two-thirds through, as we see Namor, who I don't think it's a spoiler to say that they're doing, like, either Aztec or Maori, but, like, you know, that kind of time period, they're doing that. They're not doing the Lost City of Atlantis. They're doing some Central America kind of plot to it, but we will see. But again, what a trailer. So this podcast with SB and Joey Jojo was recorded 6 days ago. It's now the 24th of July. Fun conversation, but this is going to be one of those kind of old school edited for length and content and slander and cohesion, I guess. So we're going to see how this goes. I don't remember too much about what was said, just that we kind of talked about everybody and then we stopped hitting record and more revelations were made and more kind of gossip kind of stuff. So, you know, like what's Alex Lazary doing kind of stuff. And, oh, by the way, I know we didn't talk about this, by the way, what you guys call yourselves my friends and nobody told me that Nicholas Henkel got canceled like 6 months ago. Like that's, we certainly would have done an entire episode about that, but water under the bridge, I guess. So as opposed to just doing like a 20-minute kind of talk around all the stuff that's going on, we're just going to kind of cut in. I'm going to cut in just as we go if there's anything particular that needs to be clarified or just anything else that I would think that I wanted to talk about. I think, though, we've all – I do think I said at some point throughout this that – or one of us said that, man, it's great. Like, think about how special it is that we obviously – ran past the one-year anniversary of the Bucks winning the title, and it'll always be in July. It'll always be past the end of the finals and even the SBs, and it'll be in this dead zone, and then we get to kind of have this week-long remember game three, remember game four, remember game five, remember game six kind of thing. So that's obviously been just great. And for the most part, something that all the factions can kind of agree on. Anyway, here's the episode. But we were talking like after game five, I want to say it was like a Saturday, and we were like, and because you guys were, to your credit, kind of early on the Giannis train, we were like, if he's the man, he's got to win this, he's got to pull it out. And I seem to remember he played pretty decent in that game seven, but that was, I don't think they had one of the Morrises, but that was like good Horford. That wasn't Kyrie, but that was like good Horford, young Tatum. And what's his name from the Jazz was probably still. That's probably why we thought we could beat him, because what's his name from the Jazz was still hurt.
That was where Chris Middleton was born, right?
Yes, but that was Prunty, right? Kid was gone. So
yeah, that was Prunty. That was Prunty. Kid season, dude. That was what it was. the prime of Bucks Twitter.
Yes,
we all came together. We all came together as humans to hate someone. What the internet's for.
That probably was the peak of Bucks Twitter. Like, yeah. We were all united. And
everyone was united in a war together. That was our World War II.
Kid was our...
Stop. Already stop. Stop.
sorry.
That's already our first... That's already our first break. Well, whatever. I'm just going to cut it out. So. He was way more Mussolini anyway. So.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
That's fair.
So let's start here. Give me your championship moments. Give me your championship memories. Give me your game six memories.
How about this? Game two, I went to the Deer District. They lost, but it's still really fun. That was the last time they lost. Got to go to game three. That was pretty sick. And game five and six, I quietly watched in my room, but by myself. With the game on one screen and Twitter on the other. Mm-hmm. That's how I watch every game. Well, that's important.
Dude, game six, I couldn't get out of work, so I had to go. I work nights. But fortunately, I was assigned to train someone, which I didn't know about beforehand. So as soon as the game came on, I'm like, listen, next like 2, maybe 3 hours, you kind of know what you're doing. You're kind of on your own. I'll just be in this empty patient's room. I'll have the game on here. I'll just be standing here. And I stood there and I was like freaking out. And then it goes into overtime. That's double overtime, right? That game.
Game
or
six.
Overtime.
No.
Are you thinking of the Nets?
Nets.
Also
yeah,
not.
Nets.
Also okay, not double
Nets,
overtime.
We're thinking about Nets game seven. See, that's what I was talking about. The Bucks won the finals twice.
Dude, what am I? What am
You're
I thinking
of the I'm, Nets game seven?
Game seven, yeah.
And we're talking about game six.
About halfway through this one. I just, you know, Night Shift does something to your memory, man. I don't know. Yeah, anyways.
Okay, now we got to stop.
Slipping outside time.
What was double overtime now? Like, I'm blanking on this too.
He's
was
thinking
there,
about
no,
the,
no,
the
I,
game seven of the Nets.
The overtime was so stressful,
hit the jumper.
It felt like two. Okay.
Single
Chris Middleton
overtime.
Hit the jumper, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I think that was the game where Chris Middleton was like 4 for 14 for the first three quarters, and then him and Drew got it together. I think that's probably the one you're thinking of.
Oh, when it mattered. Perfect. All right, continuing. Joe.
We can go back to
thinking
that later.
About game six. We're thinking about game six right here.
Game six, Phoenix. Game six, Phoenix.
Chris, you're Giannis. Remember, he had 50 points. We won the finals. Do you remember that?
I remember after it ended calling you and saying, like, you didn't pick up. I'm like, we need to record a podcast, man. And I called you like a few times after that. Right?
You should check my voicemail.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's probably there.
Besides that, I was just watching the game in my room, Twitter on one screen, game of the other, nice. Talking to some friends, and yeah. Freaking out the whole time.
Yeah, dude, that's the way to do it. I'm scarred. I went to a party. I had this rule when I was a kid. I wouldn't watch a playoff Packers game outside of my own home, right? And you know what game I went to a party for? That I don't remember what year, maybe 2007 NFC Championship game against the Giants when it was super cold. Tom Coughlin.
Yep.
Like, chap face. Mm. That game, and they lost on, like, a field goal, like a last-second field goal. I still remember, like, sitting in the chair at someone else's house, just, like, sad. And, like, people around me, like, continuing with the party and being like, I'm never doing this again. This is awful. Dude, I'm not going anywhere. Unless I'm going down to the venue.
Yeah.
That actually has some parallels with what the Nets game would have felt like had we lost. Whereas, like, that Packers game, they, like, I feel like Tynes missed a field goal at the end of regular. Like, the Packers kept getting chances to win, and they kept botching it.
Yeah, dude, they just lost. There's right. Nothing. There was no way around it.
It was like missed field goal, then like the Giants ran it back and then fumbled it, and then like recovered the fumble 15. It was just like the most torturous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and to be doing like that like among like the moms talking, not really caring, it was like
that's the worst. Yeah.
Pain.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about the Twitter aspect of it too, like at least for me, and I'm not superstitious, but I was, because it's like, okay, so game five, obviously everybody, and we just had the anniversary of game five, and everybody talks about how incredible that is, because the three of those Jokers never play well together, and not just play well together, but they were just integrated. Portis played great, Pat Connaughton, like we got like the full like one yeah. million game.
They
and
all everybody's, clicked.
And because Twitter, everybody wants to be first. Everybody's like, this is going to be so great. What about the parade? I can't believe this. The prophecy, all this. And I'm like, this is making me so nervous. Everyone shut up. I don't want to yes. hear anything for dude. 48 hours. I just like, shut up. Shut up. We're going to blow this.
Same. I made sure, like, after the Nets series, I just made sure no predictions. Just being like, oh, you never know. It's the playoffs. You just got to win every game.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Yeah, it was perfect. Like I said, it's like I was telling you before. This is it was literally like the perfect Giannis moment.
Oh yeah,
you couldn't have scripted it any better. If the NBA scripted it, they should be worth way more because it no one knows their scripting, and it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah, so if they're all like elaborate actors missing and making shots when they know when to make them. They should be, you know, every single team should be worth like $100 billion.
Well, we were talking about this in the green room too right before, but I think Bucks fans kind of misunderstand how important even Durant, like Durant is a top 25-ish kind of player, but whatever. Durant's a player that matters. Durant's a player that matters in the aughts and teens.
Whoa. Like top 25?
Yeah.
You think that's too low.
Nah, because I think – well, let's come right back to that. I think he's going to probably fall back now. Because Steph did something to him this year. Well, no,
Kyrie, he's an idiot, but he's pretty good.
Oh, he's great, but you got to understand, like, the history of the NBA is, like, all these centers, and now we don't talk about the center. So it's, like, really, like, if you start talking about him versus Olajuwon, or who can really make that case? I'm just saying he's in the first – like, they had the 70 – he's in the top half of the 75, right?
Yeah.
He matters is what I'm saying. He matters.
Of course. His best performance was against us.
So it's better that he played great, and then the controversy makes it all the better. Like, and Chris Paul being the one that we beat in the finals with LeBron there, like all that stuff is like way better than people getting mad. Yeah. And like, I feel like a lot of people are kind of just slaves to like weird ranking kind of stuff. And it's just like, no, I was frankly disappointed, although it worked out, that we had like that janky lottery hot Hawks team in the ECF. Cause like, imagine if that had been the Sixers, you know, but obviously we're not complaining. But it's like, yeah, you want it to matter because, of course, the small market thing, people are going to be, like, trying to diminish it. But you can't diminish 50 points in a game, you know, in a game six. You just can't.
Yeah. Hey, who was that? Bomani Jones tweeted, hater-proof performance. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. It's like, oh, we did it. Giannis is, you know, one of the best. So we don't have to do it anymore.
Even with the Hawks, it's like the narrative coming out of that is like Giannis goes down with like what looks like a catastrophic injury, and the rest of the books just rally around and just take care of business for the rest of the series. So from a narrative, like that whole playoff run, like narratives are always great. It's like first round, you defeat the Heat. They took you out last year. Second round, one of the greatest series that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And one of the great series in general. Then you have, like I said, the Giannis injury, and then that finals, especially how it ended, how the finals ended was just. And then after game two, when Chris and Drew are smiling, just so many great moments.
Yeah.
I wanted to smash a plate glass window over both of their faces when I saw it. I was so mad at that.
The secret is when they lose is you close the Twitter window and then you like turn on anime or something. And then you just about your life.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
You don't go on the things when there's just going to be bad news, dude.
And they're just
it's just like, bad for your life.
Right. Yeah, no, you're smarter than me with that. But again, it's funny. So I did want to ask this, and not to double back. I mean, we can talk about whatever. I mean, we just there's no outline. But we talked about the kid thing, and I feel like I probably said all I had to say about this. Some episodes, maybe a year back, was Bucks Twitter better during the kid run? Or would you say the championship run? Or what for you makes any of this a positive experience or a negative experience?
I would say Bucks Twitter was good pre-Snell season.
Oh.
And then post-Snell season, as like he had a good shtick, right? But like it was so easy to copy that it's kind of become all that there is. You know, every single person who replies to me nowadays is Pat Connaughton, Stan 486, or, you know, Marjan Beauchamp's the best, 420.
Does everyone do that? Because I feel like I wouldn't know, but I feel like other fan bases, it's like LeBron Jordan stuff, or it's big player stuff, it's Tatum or something like that.
It's the younger generation of all the other fan bases.
So there's a LeVar Ball, there's a Lonzo Ball kind of, there's...
Yeah.
Okay.
There's just Stan culture is like actually a thing. Like just making these Stan accounts and using that to get followers because it like, you know, they propagate themselves.
Dog. I'll probably cut this out or I'll cut this out so you don't see around this. Did you see that guy? You Staffy's a troll. You probably like got some perverse pleasure out of this. Did you see that guy Did you see that guy?
That Nathan Heinkel, dude? I already know who you're going to ask about.
No. Yes, I would have said that. Did you see that guy propose to that girl? So obviously, and that's kind of the thing with all that stuff, like, obviously I think it's funny too, right? Right, like the Chris cult or any of these kind of cults that came out of, I mean, like you said, I think the Chris cult came out of the Snell cult or all these other kind of things, but I can't believe how big that stuff got.
Dude, that's all it is.
It's just like, there's, you can
go ahead, Joe. I'm so sorry.
You can be a person and you can have takes, but that doesn't have to be all that your Twitter is about, you know? What do I know at this point? what do I know at this point? Like, I don't even tweet, but it's just like...
You're better off.
You see Twitter, the same kind of deal over and over again, and it's just like...
Twitter is supposed to be about you making, like, I don't know, just putting your thoughts onto the internet and finding other people who, you know, have fun thoughts as well that you can exchange, and then building a friendship from that. But when you're, instead of, you know, being Shafty Bro or... Even David Dunn 21, I mean, that's like, it's a good rhyme. You were like a persona. You know, Joe was his real person, which is, you know, that's kind of wild to me, but, you know, to each their own.
But then it was seven of them.
Yeah. And I mean, he did grow off of, not a meme account, but a gimmick account.
Yeah.
But remember, I mean, Joe?
I think it was like, probably one of the most useful ones at the time.
Yeah, it was actually that, but that was like a way to do it.
That was a real thing. That was a real thing. That wasn't.
It was like a way in.
That wasn't. Was and no shade to anybody else, because I know everyone does this. So people listening also do this, and I'm sure I've done this before too. Yeah. But that wasn't like woke up dreaming of this play. And it's
the honest highlight clip I downloaded off YouTube.
Right? Yeah, it's like somebody else is like,
yeah, you like went back and cut out like actual like defensive play. Like, yes. It wasn't like highlights or anything. Like, you were doing the work.
Yes, that's totally different. That's
you went into this is I'm me. That's who was making it, and so everyone like accepted you as who you were.
Yeah,
yes, that's different. And again, those other people, I'm not saying they suck, but I'm just saying. That stuff is really dope when it's like 10% of what you see. When it's like now, especially in the off season, it's like 65% of everything.
Yeah,
and it's just dumb.
It's like when they turned it into a stage, and not like, you know, people just chat. Like, it was a chat room in my head,
right?
Like, well, just between my mutuals. Like, that's all I think of it as. If you're following me, then you know, whatever. If you're cool, I'll follow you back, but I won't follow back right away. That's crazy.
And especially since, like, I found some people that I like and I respect their opinions on Twitter about the Bucks. Now they're just in DMs with me, and that's fine. That's great. We have DM groups. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's all I need.
It's way better. It's way better.
Because you don't get other people, like, publicly reacting to your tomfoolery.
Well, you know. So let me ask you guys, and maybe it's a different answer for both of you guys, because I don't, I guess I'm probably being flattering to myself to say I don't want the attention. I don't want the attention, but if you're doing a podcast, I do want the feedback. And the thing that became kind of nutty about having a podcast is just there's very little feedback to it. And so, like you said, that's also what the DMs are for. But like, I don't know if you guys felt differently where it's like, some kind of way, like I'll make a video and have, I mean, nobody watches my videos either, but I might get to 20,000 views or something like that on like a really big one. But like the 100-150 people who listen to this are like I care about those numbers a lot more, and like I care about the feedback a lot more. And it's like, I don't know how you guys, like, did you ever get to that point, or you were just kind of like chopping it up? You didn't really care about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to watch the numbers go up in anything, but I was more, I don't know. I just like talking. Like, do you make the videos for the views, or do you just like making videos about the Bucks?
This is going to sound terrible. I make the videos because somebody should, you know?
That's right. I mean, that.
Yeah. I think
that's
said
how
that
I
before.
Feel about the podcast as well. Like, sorry. They're all tweeting, you know, Pat Connaughton is the greatest ever, instead of, you know,
Back in my day, they used to autistically make, you know, 40-minute highlight videos about John Wall, you know?
Right. No, there's four or five people who do really great stuff, and I think there's also people who, like, are doing stuff professionally in their actual professions who obviously are way better than me. But, like, to me, I always have to kind of tiptoe around this because, obviously, even when we're talking about obviously, all I'm doing is appropriating other people's content also. I'm just trying to turn it into this quilt that is something else. But, like...
It is. No, I believe editing like that's art, dude.
But like, you know, it is or it isn't. But, it, like, hopefully, if people are like, oh, that's really dope, then it's, like, worth it to me. But, like,
if it elicits emotion, I mean, isn't that what art is?
Yes, 100%. And so, for me...
music and clips, that's art.
And so, for me, it was, like... I get occasionally, and that's why it's kind of good to be kind of retired. I think I'm calling myself retired for the Bucks. I think I'm going to make like another NBA video kind of once a year, once every couple of years. I have kind of something I'm kind of tinkering around with. But I got so territorial about the Bucks where I'd be like, well, why is this dude doing this? Or why is this person doing that? Or like people have put out tweets. Or like there's one dude, you probably guess who it is. Like, I don't care. It's not Nihilus. But this other guy, like people will put out Bucks videos and they'd be like, here's a great Bucks video. Get your tissues ready for this.
Is it the child who goes to Marquette?
No. Although that's, but again, that's the younger.
Dude, I respect him. He's hustling out there, man.
Yeah, he's grinding. And again,
he blew it famously. So, you know, you got to respect it.
What did he famously blow?
Never mind. I thought it was well known.
I
who are we talking about? I'm sorry.
This is not my real life. He's talking about.
Will you cut this out?
Top 7 tracks I would have liked to have heard in Ms. Marvel. Number 7. Whatever she said, then I'm mad. If this here rocks to y'all, then we mad. Number 6. Number 5. Number 4.
Please, Ed, would you mind saying that again?
Number 3. Number 2.
I'm on my 8th summer, still hot, Young's the 8th wonder. All I do is get bread, yeah, I take wonder.
And number 1. And now back to the show.
He wouldn't even make my top 10 of people who annoy me, though.
So. Oh, no, he's harmless, that's what I mean. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's just out there trying, you know?
No.
You gotta respect guys like that.
I was referencing, and I'll cut this part out. I think it's like...
Oh, you can...
Oh, yeah, the ball. Yeah, that guy's a lot.
That guy's a lot. And that's actually the word for it. That guy's a lot.
But you need those. You need foils, you know.
You need
someone to argue with, dude. You can't just be agreeing with everyone.
Well,
that's why we got in this mess. You gotta listen to people who make you mad, you know.
This is gonna be a 10-minute episode. So I guess I should probably act like an interviewer and be like, so
yeah,
you
had this list, I thought.
No list, but so you guys think you ever want to come back? Joe works 27 jobs, but do you guys think you'd ever come back or kind of do other kind of content?
The thing is about podcasting, it's so well. For Shafty, see, all he has to do is get on, hit record, and ramble. And it's like, all right, Joe, you edit that, right? It's so, in general, though, it's so easy. It's, you know, even if only like 50, 90 people listen to it, I honestly couldn't care less about.
Dude, I can't believe we got that many.
Yeah, no, we deserved like four and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I was just having, it's just fun to talk to Joe. And I mean, I have these rants whether I'm recording and posting or not, you know?
Yeah. So it's fun. It's just like, man, life is, you got to do things. You got to schedule things. It's difficult.
It's tough. I mean, what I would say is I go on Twitter and I get like, you know, thoughts, and like, I'm not the type of person who's going to post like a 20 tweet thread,
no.
You know?
No.
So I'll have that thought out loud to my girlfriend while she looks at me annoyed.
And like, or like listens.
In my car. Yeah. And half would be great, dude.
If that.
Yeah. I would be celebrating half. And then, or I'll yell it to myself in my car while I'm driving to work because I don't have AC.
Oh.
So I just got my windows down.
Terrible.
That's fine.
No. Yeah, the quality, I'm sure it'd probably be the same for you, but the quality control for those ones suck. Like, I end up thinking half of what I'm doing is gold, but I'm like, oh, the other half, I could take two on that, you know.
And I don't have the patience to do editing.
No.
I got like the ideas in my head, but it's never. I'm never gonna put it into paper.
But like for a while, and I'll say this, for a while, I'm not saying you guys are like the first thing I listen to, but like you guys would put something out, and I'd be like, you guys are doing sketches and skits and bits and all this kind of stuff. Joe's rapping. You're like making fun of Kane Pittman, and you're doing all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, there's all these kind of like, and I'm like, wow, yo, these guys are really going for it at this point. Right now, I was like, and a couple of times I did catch myself like smiling at it because some of that stuff was kind of funny.
Damn, I know we could have done it, Jim. You could have followed your heart and been an artist.
Listen, man, I'm still proud of that intro to that.
Dude, I listen. I'm not joking. When we were when you first messaged us, I went back and listened to a couple podcasts because I'm vain like that, I guess. I like listening to the sound of my own voice because I like consuming podcasts, and there is not a Bucks podcast that I can consume that makes me go, I like this.
Mm.
And so at least if I record myself, I can listen to it and go, yes, that is correct. That's why I record the podcast, really. Because I feel like there's no one out there actually talking about the Bucks. They're all like mimicking like PR professional
Zach Lowe stuff.
Yeah, they're all mimicking, like trying to go for ad dollars. You know, advertisers ruin everything.
Yeah.
If I was ever a dictator, no more ads. You just post the picture of your product with the price at the bottom. That's it.
I don't know about that, man.
No, I don't know what you mean.
No, I mean, out of all the Bucks, like, I've completely dropped listening to Locked On Bucks because, you know, I don't have enough time to get to the point in my podcast archive where I'm like, yeah, like mid-tier talking about the Bucks, just telling it how
they
it
don't,
is.
They're not and Frank's even talking there all the time. About the dude. I love Frank Madden, the godfather of Twitter. You know what? One of top three moments about the game six.
Hmm.
Giannis winning, Chris Middleton hitting a game winner, or, you know, hitting a clutch shot.
Yeah.
And Frank getting to see that happen. Yeah, and Frank getting to see that happen with his dad.
And
that makes me really happy to, like, know that Frank and his dad, who, like, bonded over the Bucks, got, like, that moment. I like that.
I think, didn't Frank say on the podcast, didn't he say that? Yeah, after the Bucks won the championship, he'd probably retire from podcasting.
I think he said that on this podcast, actually. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Joe listens to you.
Yeah, your podcast is like the one Bucks podcast. You so pretty much
out,
listen
to
everything.
No, get out of here. You know you listen to this podcast. You're really... You're,
yeah, no, that's what I said.
No, I'm asking... Shafty also listens to this, but there's no way Shafty doesn't listen to half the episodes. Like you're not that busy. Like, are you actually denying that? Silence.
Sure, I listen to them.
You listen to some of them. That's fine. That's all of them.
Of course.
I mean, honestly, and the quality is just great. Like, when you do the awards episodes, and I'm just thinking about it, like, oh, man, you have to edit all that in, and, like, you're working with, like, I couldn't do it. It's a lot.
You guys inspired me.
It's honestly some of the best stuff that, you know, comes out. So
Well, it's all over. This is the final episode. But move on to other things.
Dude, that's life. And you know what's crazy? I was obsessed as I am with the Bucks. I was like that with the Packers. And then they won the Super Bowl in 2011. And I slowly stopped caring.
Yes.
And I hope that doesn't happen with the Bucks, but...
Well, for me, like, year after year of the Packers being great and then just completely taking a nosedive in the playoffs and just one bad game, see the flaws come together and...
But Joe, we would be at the beginning the Giants. Of that with the Packers, with the Bucks right now.
But we have Giannis, you know?
Yeah, but we have Aaron Rodgers, so...
Yeah, but Giannis is so pure and wonderful.
Yeah, you're
Rodgers,
right.
Rodgers, he's not that.
And Pat, in football is like a 40-player sport.
Yeah. You know, Giannis is one of five guys out there.
Basketball's like three.
Rodgers is one of however many.
Yeah, 22. 33 if you watched last year.
Well, I suppose off topic but related. I think it says something. It speaks to kind of the power of the written word. Where even I'm not a Rodgers fan. Because I'm just that old and I'm still kind of team Favre, but like I'm still vaguely a Packers fan. Like I went to Lambeau like last week, but like there is something to the like if I was a little bit younger like you guys and still deep into the Packers, I'd be kind of distancing myself from the Packers a little bit too emotionally. But I'll be But I'd be doggone if I want to see somebody else rip my team in print. You know, so it's like a weird kind of thing where it's like. Like we were never meant to like have this much access to like Bulls fans and Laker fans and like Cowboy fans. Like
you're supposed to know one Bulls fan and you're supposed to be like ha ha like 2 months after the playoffs,
right?
And like not talk to him for another 6 months. Like that's the extent you're supposed to talk with fans. You're supposed to go down to the pub and talk to, you know, have your five guys that you talk. I mean, that's what DMs are.
Yeah.
See, I live in the worst state, so I'm surrounded by Bears fans and Bulls fans. But being surrounded by Bears fans is fine because it's just like every year I'm just like, yeah, you guys suck.
It's so sad. Have you guys, and off topic a little bit, I guess, again, the reason I listen to my podcast is just because I despise repeating myself, even though all I do is repeat myself. But I'm like, did I already say this? But I think I said this, but I cut it out to myself, like, and so... Are you guys familiar with the corner of NBA Twitter that is now kind of all about the old players, even though they're all 20-year-olds also? It's kind of like an outgrowth of like Hooper's Twitter, but it's not exactly like Hooper's Baller Twitter.
Yeah, but they like love like Vin Baker.
It's like... And I shouldn't badmouth because I'm going to have some of these guys on at some point, unless this is the last episode. I don't know. Like, I end up scheduling 20 episodes and fulfilling five of them. Like,
yeah,
so,
dude, that's
so,
right, though.
So yeah, it's like I'll schedule a bunch of people like, hey, you want to come on? And then it's like I follow through on some of it, but I have to kind of get the evening off for my house responsibilities and my husbandly responsibilities and all this to like get a night to do this. But like, as a side point, I'm kind of interested in these dudes because I think it's also a little bit of a hustle, but they're just like, I've known a lot of these guys now and they're like, look at this. They're like Joe's age, but they're like, look at this Willis Reed versus Kareem game in 1973. Look at this OG. Hey, OG, did you see this? Look at that. People don't understand how smooth Elgin Baylor was, OG, and all this kind of stuff like that. And I'm not like jealous of it, but it's like super interesting that like we've come this far full circle that now they're like these other group of kids who are like, it's like they think they discovered the Beatles or something like that, and they're just completely like retro.
They're basketball hipsters.
Yes, you said it. That's exactly what it is. And I was like, oh wow, look at this. And they're just like, oh man, people don't appreciate Daryl Dawkins. Daryl Dawkins was doing it way before this. And on some level, I'm that guy.
Did you watch them when you were a child?
No, but I mean, well, we had VHS and stuff.
Yeah, well, see, that's fine. I mean, that's what they're doing though too. So it's like, are you just mad at a looking at a mirror?
No, because what's interesting is about it. It's kind of my same objection. And then again, I'm not talking about any. What I'm describing right now is like a police sketch of like a police sketch of like 10 different dudes, right?
Yeah, I can think. I'm imagining them in my head. Yeah,
right. And it seems sort of cool. Go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, like, you know, 20 years from now, is there going to be like a, you know, whatever comes after Twitter's, are there going to be like a dozen guys that are like, oh man, look at Kyrie, look at the, he's so smooth, look at these handles, like,
yeah,
how did he only win one championship when he was with LeBron? They're... like, what happened with Kyrie? And it's like, they're not living the day to day of Kyrie being like, oh, I'm going to peace out for half a season, see ya, like, oh, I don't believe in the COVID vaccine, I don't want to play, it's good.
Dude, like, you know what's crazy? Kyrie, I think we know like 1% of what Kyrie did to the Nets last year. I think, dude, the Kyrie's so bad, the Nets are willing to be like, yeah, we'll trade Kevin Durant and Kyrie and go back to, you know, cheering on D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie winning 40 games. Like, I miss that. You guys suck. So, like, I respect Josiah for just being like, I give up with these dudes. I don't even care how good they are.
So you know how Bomani can say stuff that's like approaching or crossing the line of racism that like other people can't say? And he did this whole thing about basically this Asian businessman is not the one who's gonna be down with people not showing up for work, and did like this whole thing about that. And yeah, it makes sense. Like, they are not playing around with him at all. They are
the problem, like, is though, like, that's just like their, is it racism when it's just like that's their culture? I don't even know.
I just think people wouldn't put their toe into that, and like he constantly does, which is why.
Yeah. No, but yeah, but it's like he has like a position. Like, that's why Trump couldn't be canceled, because he was just Trump.
Right.
You know? I mean,
once you become an established personality. Yeah. No, I know, but it's like it doesn't matter, because it's like, it's not like you can forget him, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So once you become this like established figure, you can kind of push through that stuff. As long as you don't depend on like, you know, the advertisers.
But anyway, the and again, this is off topic. I could probably cut this out too. But
do we have a topic? Like,
there is no topic, man. We're just being like, how y'all been? We've been like, how y'all, there's no topic. We're like, how y'all been?
It can't be off topic if there's no topic.
No, like, there was this kid. There was this kid on Twitter. This was like 2 months ago. And he was very, and again, I'm not like some learned, I'm an idiot, I'm nobody, but like, it was like, you know, this is the tweet, right? And like, I feel bad, because sometimes, you know, I've been known to crack off an egghead kind of tweet. And so this dude cracked off this egghead tweet, and there was like no engagement with it. And so I felt like it was basically, but it was something like, wow, the parallels between Black rock musicians in the 50s and basketball player in the 50s really makes you think. It was like one of those deals, like, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's kind of like this, and whatever I said, right? But it was something like, boy, the Harlem Renaissance and the Harlem Globetrotters, really, the parallels really makes you think, right? And even for me, I'm like, man, who's like I can kind of get down with that a little bit, but I'm like, I don't know who you think is going to engage with that. That should be like, you know, your Substack or something like that.
That's going to be like an attempt at a joke, right?
No, I think it was serious, but like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's this hive of these dudes. Like, I want to support these dudes. And like I said, I think if I make another video, it'll be sort of along these lines. But like, there are these guys who are like, you know, Tupac was kind of like Iverson, but Ice Cube was kind of like, you know, Derek Fisher. And they're like doing this stuff. And I'm like, I like where your head's at, but I don't think you're quite there. But it all came from that ball don't stop, ball don't lie. It all came from that, the Hooper guy, like the Hoopers and Ballers, you know, the Kyrie guys. Yeah. And it's like, I'll be interested to see if that, because there's such an overlap with them and Lakers fans, I'll be interested if that kind of overtakes.
Don't you think it's interesting that it's become like this, one guy finds a shtick to like gain followers, and then a bunch of people just copy it?
Yes.
Instead of what it used to be, where it was just like, you know, as you would like establish a personality, you know, you'd establish a username, and that was your fake online username. Real life and internet shouldn't be combined at all.
Agreed.
Before Twitter, you guys were both on a Real GM, like, that's where it started for y'all.
JS comments for me or whatever, like, very
JS big. Comments. Wow. Dude. What a origin story.
And after Packers, like, pack, because there was no, because I had moved at that point, and there was nowhere to talk after Packers losses. That's what that was.
Mm.
I think I got on Twitter because I played StarCraft 2. That's why I joined Twitter. Because wow. You could follow StarCraft 2 players. And then I think I started watching the Bucks because I had a TV as a second monitor, and we had AT&T cable with a wireless receiver I could put in my room. So I'd have FS Wisconsin on, and I'd watch every Bucks game. I think I started watching with when Brandon Jennings started playing.
Yeah.
It's about when I started watching.
Yeah.
And I was a huge Monta Ellis stan. Totally convinced he was gonna take us to the next level, dude. Monta Ellis is elite.
I was so hyped.
I love
and looking
Monta
back
Ellis.
On it, it's like, oh my god, why did Can't I think that Monta was the solution?
Yeah, but he was the gateway drug. He got you to start. Well, he was a big enough name to get you to start watching.
Yep. Well, I think I said
and that
this.
Like hooked us.
The most Bucks team of all time was that Beal Westbrook team for the Wizards. That was kind of it's not quite as good, but that was our Jennings Monte. It was like, oh my goodness, we're relevant. Like they're gonna talk about our trade in the morning kind of thing. Like it was, you know.
Yeah.
And all things being equal, like you'd rather a bad offensive team than just a bad defensive team, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't want to watch chucking guys? I mean, dude, the ultimate swag backcourt, OJ Mayo, Brandon Jennings, Monta Ellis. Just oozing swag.
Yep. That was fun.
Get you hooked. That was a lot of fun.
And then they
drafted some, you know, idiot. Some little 18-year-old Greek kid. Who was skinny and probably malnourished.
Oh, definitely. Did you guys read the Giannis book?
So we talked about this before you got on. Go ahead. Talk about it first before we say it.
Yeah, Joe, what did you think about the... Yeah, of course. What did you think about the Giannis book?
We also cut that part out.
I liked it. It was good. What? Why?
What'd you like about it? You can give some quotes and things.
You think I have the book in front of me? It's on my coffee table. What I like about the book? I like learning more about Giannis, dude. He has such a beautiful story. I didn't like towards the end of it. I felt like it got into like, it like went off on a political tangent at one point. I'm like, I don't really care. This isn't Giannis. It's like whatever.
Like the author ranting about immigration or whatever.
I would have preferred less of the author in general in that book, and just more about Giannis and Giannis's family in that book.
Nice. See, our vibe was perfect, dude. See, sometimes the vibes are right. That's what you gotta listen. That's why you gotta just listen.
So before you came on, however we got on that, and it's the same with the movie in a different kind of way. But I was like, I'm totally judging her by her cover, but she's got like a weird Twitter pic, like this weird sort of kooky. She's like a kooky, you know, drama teacher or something kind of look to her. And I heard her on Simmons, and I thought that was mostly pretty interesting, you know, when she was pimping the book or the book was about to come out. But I was still just like, who is this person writing this book? And like you said, I remember she was like, well, maybe he'll get more into politics a little bit later, blah, 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 which is neither here nor there. But I was like, I would have, just because I would have rather that be Jackie Mack or Simmons, or I would rather that be,
yes,
you know, one of the goats of like kind of sports writing. Like I'm drawing a blank on some of the other names, but apparently, but people I respect say it's awesome. So I'm sure I'm wrong, but it was just kind of, because it was like BLM and all that stuff was going on at the same time. And it was like, when is Giannis, this guy with this completely different story, going to take a stand? And I'm like, yeah, all right. Thanks, Mirren Fader. But
he did a bunch, like a lot, like more than any, like professional athlete.
All right, so it's probably past my bedtime. That's a good place to stop. At least another 45 minutes left to go. Like I said, pretty good chat. I think we bounced around. I hopefully it's one of those kind of things where if you know who we're talking about, great. If not, but like I said, ultimately I think the whole episode was TetoniaWorld.com, the best designs, the hottest colors, and the prices are. All these black helmet designs getting released right now are definitely not. All of you who reshared, re-left comments on the Bucks Championship video are definitely. Maybe some of you are a little bit more excited about Black Panther than me. Leave comments as you retweet. Of course you're going to retweet, so go ahead and like leave your comments, leave the things that you're looking forward to. You leave your list for top fives that you'd like to hear in the future. And basically that's about it. Zip it up, zip it out, and I'm out like D.B. Cooper.